all joined us this morning. We're going to go before the Father in prayer on this Wait on the Lord Wednesday. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for this time of fellowship together, one with another, but more importantly, with you. We thank you for Dr. Vanessa Weatherspoon and Dr. P.K. Roberts, who founded this call, who said yes to the mission and the mandate that you gave them to enrich, empower, and enhance believers as we start our day. We thank you that they have come together through a company called Artists International, and we thank you for the Des de Leon family and their faithfulness to the vision that you gave Papa Des de Leon. We thank you, Lord, because we understand that you love us even when we don't have the sense to love ourselves. We understand and know and believe and have faith in who you are and what your word says. We stand on your word. We believe that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. So we give you the glory. We magnify your name. We glorify your name. We ask that you continue to say have a special blessing on the man of God who is coming forth with the message. We ask a special blessing on him, his ministry, and his household, because we understand the pressures of the man of God. So we just want to glorify you and magnify you right now in the name of Jesus. We call it done. Amen, amen, and amen. I will now turn the call over to our host. Host, are you there?
Good morning. Can you hear me?
I hear you loud and clear.
Amen. Praise God. Good morning, CMT family. This is LaShawn in Delaware and family. And as we are en route, we still want to give reverence to the Lord and thank him for everything that he is doing in our lives. So good morning. I greet you all with the warmest of kingdom's greetings and with Jesus' joy. And I just wanted to let you know a little bit about the master's call before the speaker of this half hour comes on the line. The master's call was founded in 2010, October 25th, by two victorious women of God, Dr. Vanessa Weatherspoon, our mother eagle, and Dr. P.K. Roberts, the ambassador of Artists International. And when these two women of God got the call to create this call, the master's call from God, we are so delighted that he gave them a mission statement. He gave them a scripture reference. He gave them something to stand on so that this call can go through with clarity and give all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise to the Father. And we're excited about that. The mission statement is to enrich, to enhance, and to empower believers as they begin their day. And Master's Call family, as you will hear and as you can see, the Master's Call will do that just for you. And the scripture reference that you can find that this call stands on is found in Psalm 88:13, and it reads, "But to you I have cried out, O Lord, and in the morning my prayer comes before you." So, Master's Call family, as you can see, we start this call off in prayer. We end this call in prayer, and we encourage you to continue your day in prayer, because we know when the prayers go up, God's mighty, mighty blessings come down. And immediately following this call is the MMT call, the morning motivational call. And that call is hosted by a dynamic team of platinum president and those that are moving and grooving and Artists International. Now, you may say, well, wait a minute. This is a prayer call. What is Artists International? What are the platinum president? And I am so glad that you asked. And I also encourage you to go back to the person that told you about this call and ask them a little bit more about Artists International, and they will be more than glad to let you know about that health ministry. But just to give you a little bit, the Artists International is a debt-free health and wellness company that is sold out to the Lord. The founders, Papa Diaz de Leon and his wife, Armenia, they went to God and asked him about this business, and thus they have been blessed over the last 20 years. So we're just excited about Artists International. And speaking of which, call into the MMC call, area code 530-881-1300. The access code is 539-598-POUND. There you will learn more about 90K in 90 days and about this awesome empowerment conference taking place Father's Day weekend in sunny Orlando, Florida. all roads are going to lead to Florida. And we encourage you to get your tickets and RSVP. And if you want to help us on our Sunday morning service, we would love to have you host with us and to be part of that service. So please inbox Dr. Vanessa or our prayer general, Minister Robin, and they will give you more information. And if the Lord is tugging on you and telling you that it is time for you to be part of the Master's Call, for you to be an intercessor, for you to host a call or to deliver a message, we ask that you go to our website and learn more about the call, www.themasterscall.net, or for you to email us at the info@themasterscall.net. And there you will get further instructions from our prayer general as to what to do. To be part of this call. So I have so many more announcements, but I want to move out the way so our speaker can come on the line and bless us with Thus Saith the Lord. Pastor Chuck Brown is the senior pastor of the most exciting and one of the most powerful ministries in the New Orleans area, Kingdom Builders Family Worship Center. He states on his Facebook page that he is married to the most wonderful woman in the world of 15 years and the father to the best son and daughter in the world, Charles III and Christina E. Pastor Chuck is a graduate of Morehouse College of Business Administration, and his beautiful wife, Marcia, is his Spelman sister. Pastor Chuck has been pastoring for over 6 years and states that he has experienced the highs and he has experienced the lows, but God has pulled him through each time, even through Hurricane Katrina. Pastor Chuck started his congregation with 16 members, and to God be the glory, they have over 450 members and growing. Pastor Chuck is the author of Death of a Desperate Woman, and if you have not got your copy as of yet, I encourage you to go ahead to his website and order that book, www.kbfcw.org. There are so many more awesome things I could tell you about this gentleman, but the main thing he wants you to know, that he is sold out to the Lord and loves him with all his heart, all his mind, and all his soul. And if you listen to his past messages, you will see that he is truly a mighty man of God. So without further ado, I bring to you Pastor Chuck Brown. Are you there, brother?
I am there, my sister. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Go ahead and take it away.
Amen. Thank you so very much for that introduction and for all that you all do each week, every day for this call. And we're grateful for the founders, Dr. PK, Dr. Vanessa. We love these women of God with all of our hearts. And I want to get right into what the Lord has called me to do on this morning. A few things I want to really reach out and get into, so I don't want to prolong the time at all. I began a series a few weeks ago, which is subsequently going to be a book. I'm still working on this book that will be released later this summer. My release is my release. It's the title of the series and the title of the book, My Release is My Release. And I must be honest with you today. This particular series that we're in is hitting me harder than most sermons do. It's extremely difficult to walk out of a prison you want to be in. The reason why I believe that these sermons, in my opinion, are so powerful has to do with the fact that we don't always want to walk in what's best for us. I stated last week that the Word of God can only help those who want to be helped. We want to be blessed. We want to prosper. We want to experience peace. We want to experience God's favor. We want to walk under an open window, and open doors of heaven. But oftentimes, we're one crucial step away from getting what God has for us. Just one step away, one hallelujah away, one praise away, one step. Not just that, but more importantly, we're just one obedient instruction away. The rich young ruler only had to do what Jesus said to him and give his riches away to the poor, and he would have been blessed in ways he couldn't imagine. But I'm here to let you know that we're one release away from total peace in our lives, and that release comes in the form of forgiveness. Understand that forgiveness is birthed out of love. It takes love to forgive. God is love. Therefore, it takes God to help us to forgive certain offenses that have been done against us. Not our love, hear me, but God's love. our love is met with conditions and certain terms must be met. Our love is often inconsistent. It depends on how we feel that day. Our love is selfish. Some are mad with folk who didn't let them have their way. We pick and choose who we want to love, but I'm so glad God doesn't love me how I love other people. In fact, I'm glad God doesn't love me the way that I love him. My release is in my release. It's not a sermon for other people. This is a sermon for us. Don't look for anyone else to release you. First of all, spiritually, Christ released you. Secondly, the chains that are holding you back have actually been destroyed, but we choose to keep putting them back together year after year. It's time to be free from this stuff. It's time to walk in our liberty. We talked about what forgiveness is not and the myths concerning it. To forgive doesn't mean you approve or diminish sin. It doesn't mean it makes you an enabler. To forgive does not mean you deny wrongdoing. To forgive doesn't mean that you wait for an apology. We shared on last week that there must be reflection in order for true forgiveness to take place. We must reflect on what's inside and stop allowing things to pile up. Have to also reflect on what we hear. You don't like the song that's playing in your life? Change the playlist. Today I want to focus on the actual release itself. What does it take to release what's been holding us back and keeping us from being productive and prohibiting us from healing and blocking our reconciliation? But before I can tell you that, I must show you something. And I want to say this, and we've looked at it, and you can go to Mark 11:25 and even Matthew 6:14-15, where Jesus says, basically, he clearly warns us that God will not forgive us our sins if we do not forgive those who sin against us. So to walk in unforgiveness is actually to walk in sin. It's not that we earn God's forgiveness by forgiving. It's just that God expects forgiven people to forgive people. He expects forgiven people to forgive people. That's why we consider ourselves when others fall, because there are some things that we've done to folk that we were happy when they forgave us of. There's some things we said and we needed people to forgive us of what it was that we did against them. If you know God has forgiven you with all the stuff that you've done and you keep going, then how are you going to hold on to what other people have done or said about you? Release them so that your heart and your spirit can be right with the Lord. Matthew 5:43-44 says this. I believe this New Living Translation. You've heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. First thing that you need to understand about release, you cannot release anyone you refuse to pray for. You cannot release anyone you refuse to pray for. I'm going to tell you something that's absolutely the truth. You will never pray for a person, not really. You will never pray for a person that you want to hold something against. Be deep if you want, but when someone has transgressed against you, the last thing you usually think about doing is praying for them. I didn't say pray for yourself in the situation, because we can do that easily, but I'm talking about praying for the person who offended you. In fact, if anyone suggests to you that you should pray for the person, you might go off on them. Prayer does a few things. Prayer allows God to intervene in a situation that has to be dealt with spiritually. Some stuff cannot be resolved with your mouth. It can't be resolved with your anger and your bitterness. That's why the devil will keep the problem at the forefront of your mind without you ever even considering prayer as the first option to releasing them. Prayer also causes me to hear God's voice and wisdom in the situation. Most times, the reason we won't pray is because we don't want God to tell us to chill out. Yeah, we don't pray because we don't want to hear God tell us to leave it alone, move past it, forget about it. We want our anger. We want our chance to cuss them out. We want our chance to stay mad. We want to keep them walking on eggshells and have something on them and have something against them. Because of my schedule and low tolerance of some stuff, this, I haven't had a chance to watch this particular reality show that I'm going to talk about. The Mary Mary Show. I used to watch it, but now I just have no time for it because of time restraints. And it was revealed last season. Last season it was revealed through the world, through media and all and so forth, that Tina's husband didn't have just one affair, but multiple affairs on her. Of course, she was hurt. She felt betrayed and was devastated. The other night, though, my wife and daughter were watching it while they had some work, and I overheard her tell Tina telling her sister, who was by now dealing with her own issues with her voice and her confidence, how Erica didn't understand what she was dealing with. She wanted to commit suicide and overdose and so forth. And I started feeling some kind of way. And not because she felt that way at some point, not because she was hurt at the betrayal, not even that she was suicidal. What made me mad was that she was talking about this. Now, before you start saying stuff like, Pastor Chuck, she might be a gospel artist, but she's still human, let me remind you of something. The moment I pray to God for real, I'm talking about really, when the moment I get on my knees before, on my face before the Lord about a situation that I'm dealing with and have faith and confidence in his ability to handle it, is the moment that I am released. Yes, I'm human, but I know God. I'm human, but I also understand that I'm connected to a Father who was willing and able to help me in whatever situation I find myself in. And my problem with it was that as much as they showed her crying, fussing, and going off and telling the world about her issues and getting emotional about it, and it never really showed her going before God about this problem. And that's why the world doesn't think that we really believe what we say that we believe, because when they see our reactions to real life issues, not in stuff, but I'm talking about real everyday life, they see us respond in the way that the world already responds. And so they're looking for something different, but they're like, well, y'all respond like us, but you say that you're listening to God. You say you believe God. You always invite me to your church, telling me to listen to what your pastor preached about. But now I'm looking at you respond and react the same way that I do. Another problem that I had is that the last time I watched this show was in November. Yet after all this time, with the new season already started, y'all, now I need you all to stay with me, because I'm not in any way bashing this show. I understand that they had to do it for entertainment purposes and all of that, but I'm talking about the principle of the matter. The show happened. The last time I watched this show was last year, when it was revealed in Ebony and on the internet about the affair. But after all this time, a new season had already started, and when the new season started, she's still talking about what she should have prayed about. And here's my word to all of y'all who continue to walk in unforgiveness. Leave last season in last season. Why are you taking last season's problems with you into a new season? This new season has new opportunities for greatness. It has new opportunities for blessings and favor and promotion, yet you want to keep replaying last season's episodes. Learn to pray and watch how God moves for you. Let last season go. Oh, God. All right. Romans chapter 12. We don't have time to go there, but you just for scripture reference, Romans 12, verses 17 through 19. I want to give you this second principle. You cannot release what you refuse to let go of. You cannot release what you refuse to let go of. I want everybody to do something for me. They just had my church, and it worked really well. I want you to make a fist in one of your hands, right hand, left hand. Make a fist, and hold it as tight as possible. Keep holding it. Don't ease up. In fact, I want you to grip it tighter. Some of y'all already let go. Why? And why did you let go? You let go because the tighter you hold the fist and make the fist, the longer that you do it, it causes discomfort and pain. Consider what would happen if you held that clenched fist for days and weeks, months, and even years. Your body would get sick from your refusal to let go. A lot of times we want to hurt the person as bad as they hurt us. We try to get them back. So the reason why we don't forgive is because we want payback, as if that will bring much satisfaction or gratification. But after a while, you will find that you're having problems with your hand, and it was self-inflicted. Self-inflicted paralysis is affecting your entire life and messing you up. God said, vengeance is mine. Stop holding on to it because you're taking my vengeance away from me. I can't bless you like I want to because the hands I want to bless are too busy being filled with something that would never give it peace. I want to bless your heart, but your heart is so clenched up and your mind is so damaged right now that I want to fill you up, but you're full of bitterness and you're full of hatred. Stop being so stubborn. God says, and let it go. If you were still holding that clenched fist, something else would happen. Oh, my God. After a while of clenching and holding on to it, the blood would stop flowing into the veins of your hand. Whenever the blood stops flowing, your hand ceases to be functional. When the blood stops flowing, the pain begins to spread to other areas. When the blood stops flowing, the blockage places strain on the veins that could rupture and even do more damage. I'm trying to tell you what happens in your life when you keep holding on to this stuff. The blood stops flowing. I'm not sure if you need the blood as much as I do, but I need the blood of Christ to keep flowing in my heart. I need the blood of Christ to keep flowing in my life. I need God's, Jesus' blood to flow in my spirit. Don't stop the blood from flowing, because it's the blood of the Lamb that is here to help you. It's the blood of the Lamb that's here to free you. It's the blood of the Lamb that's here to liberate you and set you free. The Holy Spirit can't work in your life because the blood has stopped flowing. Your family can't be reconnected because the blood has stopped flowing. Relationships can't be restored because the blood has stopped flowing. Emotions can never get balanced because the blood has stopped flowing. Tears keep flowing because the blood has stopped flowing. Have to release it, but you'll never release what you refuse to let go of. Let me move on. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Number three, you cannot release what you keep picking back up. You cannot release what you keep picking back up. When I got married, I weighed about 185 pounds soaking wet, very slim guy. And over the years, I put on a few pounds. I don't know why y'all judging me right now. I mean, I've had two children. I mean, so, you know, it's a little extra weight that I put on. I kid. But in 2012, it got out of control. And I once weighed 185, but I now tipped in 2012. I tipped the scale at 300 pounds. And obviously, that was a health hazard for me. My knees and hips were hurting. My pressure was at hypertension levels. I was a pre-diabetic. But then I decided to do something about it. On last year, I lost 60 pounds. 60 pounds. I was excited. Members were coming to me and stating how they could see the change. My clothes weren't fitting me because they were actually for a bigger guy. I had to buy a whole new wardrobe. But guess what? You may not believe this, but I gained 40-plus of the weight back, plus some, because I didn't do what was required to keep the weight off. It takes work to keep the weight off. I had gotten so excited about the change that I experienced until I thought I could go back to drinking Cokes and eating fast food four times a week. I was so excited about the weight loss until I thought I could stop planning what I was going to eat for the week and just wing it. I mean, literally wing it. I had gotten off the Cokes completely, but then I started picking them up again. And once I started picking the Cokes back up, the weight came back. Now I find myself down right now. As of today, I find myself down 22 pounds and counting, but I'm sorry, 25 pounds and counting. But now I understand that this has to be a life change. If it's not a life change, not just lifestyle, but life period, then I can expect the weight to keep coming back. People of God, whenever you allow your mind to keep going back to those areas that God has actually set you free from, then the weight will come back. Slowly but surely, your mind will revert back to old thinking. And I'm here to let you know that if you don't regularly fight, the weight will come back. There will be moments in life that will remind you of bad events, but you can't pick the weights back up. There will be movie scenes that will remind you of what you've gone through, but you can't pick the weight back up. There will be song lyrics and conversations and possibly even sermons that will remind you of where you've come from, but you can't pick it back up. The weight will slow you down. The weight will keep you from finishing the race. Don't pick the weight back up. Look, growing up, I was a pretty decent basketball player, good enough to make my varsity team, although I chose music over sports. I even walked on in college. But as a young adult, I continued to play every day. And so it was no problem for me to run 2 to 3 miles a day without even getting tired. But when I put this weight on, I tried to run one day, and I discovered that my once graceful prance was a discombobulated-looking run. To the outside world, it looked like I was hurt, because to my inside world, I was actually hurting. My knees were creaking. My hips were popping. The sole of my feet were sore. I'm trying to run, but because of all this weight, I couldn't handle it. I couldn't handle it, and so I was unable to run properly because of the weight. And, yeah, that's the reason why it's so hard for you to run the right way for the Lord. The weight of unforgiveness makes it impossible for you to run gracefully. You know what I mean, running running full of grace. You don't qualify for grace because you're running with weights and sin. You're thinking you're helping yourself, but actually you're doing more damage than good because you're not getting stronger. You're actually getting sicker and more pain. And we can see the pain on you. We can see the hurt on you. We can see just how much this weight has caused you to be afflicted. You can't run with ease until you lose the weight. So, Pastor Chuck, how do I lose the weight and keep it off? There's a scripture I always go to because it always speaks to me. In Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You have to keep renewing your mind. You have to keep placing fresh thoughts in your head daily. You have to keep it revived. Your mind has to be forced to comply with your spirit. There have been times when I've literally told myself, nope, I ain't going there. Nope, I'm not thinking about that anymore. Nope, I'm not replaying it. I refuse to do so in the name of Jesus because I'm not going back to where my heart was bitter. I'm not going back to where weeks were full of depression. I'm not going back to the place that even as a man, I had some emotional situations. I didn't understand what it was, but I'm not going back there. Well, full of rage. I'm releasing this today once and for all. And I'm telling you, before you take another step into this day, release those chains that have been holding you back and allow God to allow to provide the freedom and liberty that you really need. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Walk in your freedom. And I pray that this word has blessed you as much as it has blessed me. I love you with God's love. Turning the call back over.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you so much for that mighty and rich word. And we ask Pastor Chuck that you stay on the line for our closing benediction. We're going to go before the Lord in prayer. Father, in the matchless name of Jesus, we come to you this morning and we thank you. We thank you because this call went with clarity. It was unhindered and uncontaminated. Pastor Chuck brought the word straight from the throne room as you have given to him, Lord. So we thank you. We ask you right now, Father, that you bless Pastor Chuck, his family, his congregation, and all those comings and goings that are involved with his life, Father. We thank you for using Pastor Chuck to remind us to change our mindset and to let it go. Father, if it's not of you, we ask that you let it go. We ask that you remove addiction from us, Lord, and tolerance from us, oh God, indifference, Lord, anything that is not God-like, Lord, anything that will have people...
It looks like Minister. Praise God, praise God. Well, we thank you. Looks like Minister LaShawn may have missed the call. But, Father, we thank you for the word that has come forward. We thank you, Lord God, because you are a good God. You are a faithful God. CMC family, I'm going to go ahead and move forward with the announcements. Don't forget, we have the Artist Empowerment Conference coming up, Father's Day weekend, June 13th through the 15th. Make sure you go to your back office. Make sure you go to their website, artistempowermentconference.com. Register. Get your hotel room. And also, if you would love to serve with us that Sunday, we're going to bring forward praise and worship. Send that to our email address, and that is info@themasterscall.net. info@themasterscall.net. And I want to also let each one of you know that we have our MMC call immediately following this call, and that number is 530-881-1300. The PIN code is 539-598#. Dr. Pastor Chuck, are you there? Please give us our daily benediction.
Father, we're grateful for all that we've experienced today. We're grateful for this call and for all who were blessed by it. All of the petitions that were lifted up to you, we intercede on and on our behalf, and we give you permission to interfere into our affairs, move beyond the ways that we could even imagine, oh God, go beyond what we can ask for or even think. And we give you the glory for that this will be the absolute greatest day in our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless each of you.